You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Shows.
Yeah, so it's been like a week and a half since we recorded that episode anyway, isn't it? A week and a half or 2 weeks? 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah, today.
It's like a very long time. Today. So we have denied Wednesday. Our audience this bonus episode for so long, poor things.
Hello, audience. We're sorry we've neglected you.
We're so sorry. We apologise. We've been teasing you.
It's that thing though, isn't it? I think most of our contestants have said, even though we're in lockdown, everyone's busier than they've ever been.
Yeah.
Us to sit down and talk for 10 minutes, it's actually hard to pin that down, isn't it, sometimes?
Yes. It took you emigrating up north.
I've come up north. Do I sound any more northern? Now I've been around
my... Could you sound any more northern?
Now that I'm around my people.
Your people, yeah. You're back where you belong.
Yeah.
With your people. Yeah, no, you sound just as northern as you ever did, which is lovely.
That's good.
It's nice to finally sit down and be able to record a little bonus for what was, if I'm right, in just trying to remember what shows we had.
It was Juliet.
And Waitress. Yeah, fantastic.
What did you think? It was a fun episode, that, wasn't it?
It was. It was the testosterone-fueled episode, wasn't it?
It was very male-heavy, wasn't it? Very strong.
I had it in my head that we'd done an all-female episode because we'd had all-female teams. We'd had the ladies from Six, and we've had a couple of all-female teams, but we need to balance the force.
Yeah, we need to have a female-only episode.
A female-only episode, but
it's just tracking these people down and getting them to commit to this highly successful
life-career-changing podcast. Moment. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was thinking Johnny Depp's in town, but he has done the odd musical in his time. We should maybe...
I think he's a bit preoccupied at the moment, though. I don't think he'd want
a
frivolous...
He's got things on his mind. No, and you don't want to upset him.
No, we don't want to get that.
The might of his legal team coming at you.
No. So he's a game. Because actually, when I was editing the bonus episode together, which the listener's going to hear shortly, there's mention of my mum, Mrs. Stoddart, appears.
Mrs. Stoddart, yes. And she appears in that. I think we were so pushed for time with the main episode that all the references to Mrs. Stoddart.
Yeah, but there's one little reference in the bonus, but I'm sat in the spare room in the computer room here at her house. Yeah. And on the wall, there's some show posters. I wanted to see if you could guess what's up there.
Okay.
It's quite obvious, so
there's Evita from the West End. And UK national tour of Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, starring Chris Stoddart as
Dan. How's Dan?
What else would there be? Oh, Jersey Boys,
and then that's it. Yeah,
yeah,
they're up there. Pride of place
fantastic.
On the wall.
Fantastic. That's nice.
It's like, well, basically, it's like a shrine
place,
to me.
It's in the spare room where no one ever goes. So company doesn't go into the...
That's true. It's a bit weird. I'm sat here just looking at pictures of me on the wall. Is that a bit vain? Is that a bit...
No, it's nice. That's what you do at home.
I just look into a mirror.
Yeah, it's what you do at home in London. I've seen you put pictures of yourself all over the walls.
The Chris wall,
You're not supposed to have a shrine to yourself in your house.
No, I know. It's a bit weird.
No, it's nice that your mother is very proud of you, and I hope she enjoys the podcast.
Yeah, she loves it. She likes it every week, and she says she always texts me telling me how many she got right, how many she got wrong.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. So. I think my mother's listened to one or two. I'm not sure. She always says, "I say, have you listened?" And she's like, and she says to me, like, "Well, I haven't found it yet. I haven't found that one yet." Yeah, it's pretty hard to find if you're.
Yeah, well, that's been my plan coming up north, to make sure that everyone, like all my family and friends who I see up here, have subscribed it on Apple Podcasts.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to make sure they've all subscribed and make them write a nice review.
Yes. I mean, that's what I hope really is, that in a way, obviously we've been doing, this is the fifth one, isn't it? But hopefully people can continue to discover it online and enjoy it for many, many years to come.
And
I mean, obviously we'll go on and make more, I hope.
But I think we've decided, haven't we, that episode six is going to be the end of season one.
I think we need to keep wanting more.
Yeah.
Quit while we're ahead.
But we've got some really good ideas for future episodes and maybe some bonus episodes.
Maybe some bonus episodes, yeah. And I think, like you said, it's getting, as things get back up and running, I mean, lockdown was the perfect time to do it in a way. And as people are starting to get, I know the theatres aren't back up and running, but people are getting busier and busier. I mean, we're getting busier and busier. But as we get into the summer and people are maybe starting to venture out a little bit more, perhaps it's more difficult to pin people down. I also think it's, you know, it'd be good to be able to tweak the format a little bit now that we've done five or six episodes.
Well, yeah, and I think once we mentioned that, didn't we, right at the beginning, that we've got loads of other formats for like rounds and things, haven't we? So it'd be nice to introduce some new.
I think we originally came up with about maybe 10 or 12 rounds or something like that as to what could be. And we've just kind of stuck with the ones that worked well kind of on Zoom, or felt like they worked well.
And I think now, if they could see what my image now, this potentially is a round. We always said that this could potentially be a round. Name that tune.
Oh, yeah. Go on,
I don't know if you can hear it. Can you hear?
I can now, yeah. You did sing a little song to me earlier when I was setting up my headphones, and it was very beautiful.
Well, it was an homage to our episode, this episode.
It's not simple to say most days.
Bit of Waitress, but we could.
Beautiful.
That was a thing, wasn't it? All right, then. What's this?
Oh, that's wicked. That is wicked.
Yeah, all right. What about
Defying Gravity? Yeah. Oh, that's On Me Todd.
Yeah.
On Me Todd.
Oh, and this is putting me on the spot, trying to think of songs now. What about this?
Oh, don't know.
You know that one.
I started to watch Love Never Dies the other day on telly.
Oh, yeah.
And I did watch, like the first couple of minutes, and then I thought, it made me want to go off and write instead. So I went off to work on something else. But have you seen Love Never Dies?
I've never seen it. I only really know it because the students at college maybe sing some songs from it and stuff. And that's
my daughter said it's really good. I do want to watch it. It's partly watching it on screen that I just doesn't agree with me. If I was sat in theater, I would be rapt from the first moment. There's something about the detachment of watching a musical on screen that has never worked for me. I think partly why I find this whole situation with theaters closed like so frustrating. And even though you say, oh, but you can still see things on screen. Or I read something the other day that said, oh, it's so exciting. Like 8 big shows at the moment are about to be made into movies, like In the Height, Wicked, I think, I cannot get excited about any of them. I mean, obviously Cats was amazing.
Well,
obviously Cats
spoke for itself, didn't it?
The exception, because that's the one that really, really worked.
I mean, I think I totally get, I know you're quite strong about this, you know, because we've spoke about it before, but I agree, you're never going to get that live feeling
different
atmosphere
art form.
But equally, I think there's an element of bringing it to the masses, which is good. But I think you're never going to get the film to be ever as good as the live performance. But talking about films, our guests that we had from Anne, Julia and Waitress, there's no film version. This is a really bad link, by the way, but I'm going with it. There's no film versions of their shows. And obviously Waitress is close, so you're not going to be able to see that. But Anne, Julia is there on the stage, ready to go when they're allowed. Yes. And I think maybe it's time for our listeners to have a listen to when Chris and Lawrence met Tim and Oliver from Anne Juliet and Joel and Nathaniel from Waitress.
Game of Shows.
Start with Mr. Tomsett.
Hello.
Hi, Ollie. And how have you been? Keeping well?
Yeah, I've been good. First couple of weeks, I felt like, this is a nice little holiday, a nice break. And then it got a little bit dark and a little bit serious. And I started to realise I had to do something with my time. And I've just been basically decorating, running and eating biscuits.
And we were just going to talk a little bit. Obviously, you're in Anne Juliet at the moment. So you are here representing Anne Juliet, not officially. Unofficially representing Anne Juliet. So obviously you're having a little bit of unexpected time off. How's it been in that show so far? Well, I haven't had a chance to see it yet. So I am. All I know about it is what I know. I apologise. Tim is looking at me with a very stern face.
That's all right. It's okay. It's a new show. And I think it kind of, they very, very much on purpose kept it under wraps and quite quiet for a long time. And I think the feeling throughout the industry was that it was going to be another one of your typical jukebox musicals, which, and I've done a few of them, you know, and some of them work.
You've kind of done the quintessential jukebox musicals with Rock of Ages and We Will Rock You, haven't you?
That's exactly, kind of... yeah. And, you know, some of them work and some of them don't. And when I got sent the script for Anne Juliet, it really worked. And I think it works really well. And since we opened in Manchester and then opened in the West End, it's kind of taken theatre land by storm in the sense that it's just enough of a good night out and a nice bit, a good story and touching on some current topics and stuff that I think is a great night of theatre and you should have really. But it's gone down so well and we were picking up so much momentum and having such a good time for this cruel time that we're living in to sort of stop us in our tracks has been hard for us as much as it has been everyone. But I think it's, amongst the cast, it's really nice for us to all be messaging each other sort of in where we were sort of left in a place where we were still loving the show and all really want to get back to it and get in front of audiences again, which I've no doubt we will.
Hopefully sooner rather than later. Have you been doing much singing or since you've been at home, or are you just resting the pipes?
After the first couple of weeks of break, I was like, I started singing again. I was like, I'm sounding cute. Everybody should have like a 5-week break. I was like, it's coming out clear. So then I started singing other stuff, and then I was like, I've got no one to sing for. And my kids and my wife are probably getting a bit bored of me singing, so I've stopped, to be honest. I've stopped at the moment, but I need to approach it again and start to pick up stamina and fitness, because doing an 8-show week, you know, in any show is tough. So yeah, we don't want it to creep up on us. And so if they said to us now, if they were like, guys, good news, we're going back next week, we'd be like, can I have a couple of weeks? But of course, we want to get back as soon as possible. But I'm going to be honest, it's hard to keep the discipline in all the different areas of life that you want to do in this lockdown time. And I think I'm going through phases of looking after my fitness, then looking after my kids, then looking after my wife, and then looking after the doors that need painting.
What about yourself, Ollie? Look after yourself.
Look after yourself. I know, but yeah, the voice, I think, sounding good. But to be honest, if I went back tomorrow, I would sound amazing tomorrow. And then by show 4, I wouldn't be able to sing.
Yeah, and in terms of going back, have they said anything? Like, do you think you'll be in rehearsals for a little bit, or do you think you'll be straight back into the show, 8 shows a week?
I think, like most shows, I can only speak from our point, our angle, really. We've had lots of optimism from our producers, and they've been brilliant, and they've communicated amazing with us. Because it's as hard for them as it is for us. Mm, everyone's just like, you know, hanging on the government's word. And, you know, we're not getting a lot of help. But I don't really blame them, because theatre is obviously going to be the last thing that returns, so it's probably going to be the last thing on the agenda. It's just very hard for us to watch all the other industries go back when it's not just a job for us, it's our passion, our hobby, as well. Definitely. So it's hard not to be emotional about it. Mm-hmm. But we don't know when we're coming back exactly, but I think we've turned a corner in the past week or so, and the support seems to be ramping up, and I've got a good feeling that we'll be back before the end of the year.
Fingers crossed.
I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah, definitely.
I just remembered it's radio, so no one can see it. But
I'm yeah, my we're all crossing our
we're
fingers.
We're all doing it. We're all crossing.
Definitely. Ollie, just quickly, we're just talking about, you know, you were saying about it being hard and being, you know, tough to get back into there. With all the shows you've done, you know, those the big rock shows and stuff, is there one that was particularly tougher than others, or are they all, you know, I'm just kind of thinking about the like, We Will Rock You and Rock of Ages, or back to Wicked. What's been the kind of the toughest one on your stamina and your ability to kind of keep singing that 8 shows a week?
I think when you're younger, you're sort of a bit more bulletproof.
What are you
as
now?
I started, 55, as I,
56, 50, yeah, about yeah, 57.
Yeah. It feels it. But no, when I was younger, I felt a bit bulletproof. But to be honest, that was the time when I was playing sort of slightly easier roles like Fiero in Wicked. And then when I sort of hit Rock of Ages and my sort of rock era, if you like, which I'd never been considered for in the first 10 years of my career. No one saw me as a rock.
Well, I remember, I've known you for 20 years. I remember teaching you like singing rep at Arts Ed in 2001 or something crazy. When did you graduate from Arts Ed? Yeah, you weren't doing rock stuff. You were doing real juvenile leading man stuff like Marius and that sort of thing. Did you ever play Marius? Did you ever do that?
No. Do you know, I've only ever had one audition for Les Mis in my entire career.
So how did you find yourself in rock shows then?
Just from, I think, from being a tenor and also growing up listening to a lot of Queen music and a lot of 80s power ballads, a lot of VH1. I loved it. And Stevie Wonder was a massive influence on my singing and stuff. I just used to listen to his music and used to love how he'd sing in that sort of high mix the whole time. And as much as, you know, I never could come close, it was always actually something that instilled a really good, solid technique in the sort of higher register of my voice. So then when I got to see singing teachers and specialists who'd help me with the raspier, rockier side of it, you sort of had a nice foundation already up in the rafters. So singing Rock of Ages was tough. I was just coming out of my bulletproof stage where I still felt young and I could sing crazy stuff all the time. I remember the first sort of 6 months feeling like, this is good, I'm feeling all right. And then that fatigue starts to kick in and you've suddenly got 7 shows, then you've got 6 shows, and then you're down to 5, and then you're forced to take a couple of weeks off. And then you come back and you have to build up the stamina again. And then I managed to get the end of that contract and then was kind of semi-poached for We Will Rock You, because Brian May had come to see Rock of Ages. And prior to that, I'd auditioned for We Will Rock You 5 times. And every time they'd be like, nah, you're not quite right. And obviously I was taller than what your average Galileo would have been. And they'd always said to me, oh, you're too tall, or you're not quite ready for it. Like, I kind of believed them, you know, I wasn't ready for it. Everyone comes into their own at different points in their career. But when I was sort of 30, 31, I felt, and I'd had the experience with doing Rock of Ages, I thought, no, I can do this. And Queen, I love Queen, massive fan of Freddie Mercury. So going into the audition, it felt like a breeze, because Queen music kind of has sort of more of a technical, classical kind of side to it as well. Unlike the Rock of Ages stuff, which is kind of, you're screaming for a lot of it, and it's hard to find the difference between singing it technically and actually really rasping it up. Well, it was for me anyway. I think new modern techniques with a lot of youngsters coming through have a better understanding than what we all did 20 years ago, especially when, like you said, I was trained in doing mainly legit singing. So We Will Rock You, when I went into it, was actually quite an easy sing. But then I had a kid and I stopped sleeping, and suddenly that job became hard because other factors started creeping into my life. But singing up there as a tenor was always something that was more comfortable for me. And funnily enough, when people asked me what was the hardest show I did vocally, it ended up being Sky in Guys and Dolls, because it's a baritone role, really. It's maybe high baritone if you want at best, but it's got some low notes in it, and I don't naturally sit down there, so I had to sort of retrain my voice to sing down there. And then foolishly, the amount of dialogue I had to sing, I used to try and deliver the role in this really gruff voice. I remember trying to make him into this sort of Robert De Niro gangster type character, which I think I felt it suited it. It felt really lovely in the when you're approaching the book and the text. But in actual fact, I think people don't realize how much the speech side of what you're doing can affect when you have to flip into the singing in musical theatre where you're crossing over the two. So to answer your question, ironically, the hardest thing I've done is Sky and Guys and Dolls.
That's very interesting.
And a very long-winded answer. But,
no, it's good. It's brilliant, man. Thank you so much.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's move on. We'll move on and we'll be here all night. But I could listen to you talk about it all night. It's fascinating. Let's talk to Mr. Mahendran. Tim, you're in the same show as Ollie Thompson.
Yeah, and am I right in saying, Tim, when I looked, is it your West End debut, this show?
It is.
So how's that experience been for you? Obviously on the flip side to Ollie, now kind of this is your first West End job. And how's that
fantastic
been?
Fantastic.
That old veteran over there, who many years ago had a Rock of Ages.
I see where we're going with this. We've got the old man angle. talented rookie. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's been incredible. It really has. It wasn't anything that I ever expected. We did a workshop of the show in April 2018. And so we did a two-week workshop, and I just finished my professional debut, actually, which Luke Shepherd directed, and he asked me to come along, and he was doing this workshop, and would I be interested in sort of just being part of it? And I was like, sure, I would love to. And, you know, I'd left drama school early, so I was just grateful for anything. I'd be in any room, I didn't care, I'd just do it. Mm-hmm. And so I got in this room, and, you know, immediately, there's quite a few people actually in the show who was involved in that workshop, which is really nice. But I remember Cassidy Jansen came up to me and she said, oh, you know, David Bedella is going to come and he's going to play your dad in this workshop and stuff. And immediately I was sort of still in my drama school set mind. And I was like, jeez. I was like, okay, that cool. You're being paid to be here. And I was like, David Bedella, who? Do you know what I mean? so we did that. And then obviously they cast it and stuff, and they cast it before we did a 5-week workshop. And when I was younger, my sort of go-to singer was for music theatre was Killian Donnelly. He's got amazing voice, and obviously Ollie was a vocal inspiration for me as well. Like, and so Cassidy told me that Ollie had been cast it, and I was like, wow. I was like, okay, big time, okay. And I remember that first workshop day, I was bricking it. I mean, I went into the American church and I was like, oh my days. I was like, what am I doing here? All the American team was there, everyone. I was like, geez. And then it's just been like a joy from start to finish, just been an absolute joy. And so that sort of pressure of it being a West End debut, it's been non-existent, really. It's just been a lot of fun. Like, obviously, me and Ollie are utter children on it. I did a Q&A the other day. We invented this game called Wall Ball, right, where you throw a ball against a wall and you have to catch it from behind you. And that was kind of this absolute craze just from us being idiots and kids, right? People ask me on Q&As, oh, how have you felt in lockdown not being able to play Wall Ball? Do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But, yeah, no, it's been the hardest part
of it for you, isn't it? Not being able to play Wall Ball.
Know what I mean?
It's massively, massively social in show business. You know, it's a massive part of all of our lives.
Yeah.
And Wall Ball.
Wall
Ball is. But,
you know, not only is our sort of passion, our hobby, and our careers been taken away, a massive part of our sort of just, I don't know, the energy, I always think people in show business are the best people in the world, and that's why I do it. It's, and every show I do, I meet countless mates that I can take with me for life.
100%. And also, it's that thing of like, we used to go into work and used to laugh start to finish. Like, obviously you'd have your own little worries about a show or whatever, but you just used to laugh, and it was, that's such a blessing. I know people go into work and they can't wait to get out of it, and I used to look forward to that. That was my day, you know, that was my thing that I'd go to. And The rug's been pulled a little bit.
It'll be back.
Of course it'll be back.
Fabulous. Thank you Brilliant. So much. We're talking to mates you take with you through life. I've known Nathaniel Morrison for probably about 20 years as well. Unmute yourself, Jesus, thank you, my dear. How are you? Thank you so much for coming
How
tonight.
How dare you spot me up like that? You could have said like 5 years so people could think that I was young.
No, but we were kids. We played in the playground. We played wall ball all those years ago.
Of course, wall ball. Yeah.
We invented that.
Well, we had our own version, but it's had nothing to do with walls. How are you, my friend? How are you surviving?
Because you're talking of
like wonderfully sociable people and people who thrive on the energy of the people they surround themselves with. Are you managing to maintain that on Zoom and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I can't get off the thing.
Yeah. We live on it, don't we, Chris?
Too much Zoom.
It's crazy. I'm going to be honest, it's consuming a lot of my life and I'm starting to get worried. I'm actually now having to make sure that I take time out away from Zoom.
And obviously Waitress was due to finish anyway, wasn't it? So, I mean, technically Waitress would have been done, but you were robbed that experience of kind of the end of a 3 year. You'd been with the show the whole time it was on.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Maybe so almost. Well, we'll talk to
2 years plus.
Yeah. So I mean, that must be kind of bittersweet as well for it to say goodbye to the show in that way. Did you know your last show when it came was going to be your last show?
I mean, I think they did. But what was annoying for me was I'd had a holiday scheduled and. Prior to the holiday, I was obviously in the company manager's office figuring out whether I should go or not, what the government was saying, and like we'd lose out on so much money if we didn't go because the companies weren't budging. So we ended up going. I ended up going to Israel. So whilst I was in Israel, the WhatsApp group that we have blew up and I was like, no, this can't be happening right now. Even though, you know, I had my concerns when I was going on holiday, I'd never thought that I'd come back to not being able to say goodbye to my colleagues, let alone no job. So it burnt. It really burnt me. It was horrible.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's move on to more cheerful things than to talk about for you. Because
I'm going to be upbeat and Chris and I would... horrible. I'm having a horrible time.
No, so sorry. Well, let's go, because all we've had so far is Tim like, oh, and Juliet's brilliant and all the time. It's all been wonderful. I need some dirt, man. I need, you know, we need gossip for this, you know, so we can tweet about it or something.
Come to the right place then, really. I can give you all the
exactly.
gossip.
Exactly. So
I've got gossip on you, Nathaniel.
I'm sure you have, but keep that to yourself, yeah? You guys that was however many years ago.
Yeah, you were in Jersey Boys together, right? You were. Yeah.
We did.
Up London.
We did. Yeah, Jersey in London. Boys.
But you just keep going from job to job, really, Nathaniel, don't you? So what's in the pipeline?
I'm blessed. Getting out of Corona alive is in the pipeline right now.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know now, obviously, because the whole industry is a little bit upside down and you know, everything's gone to self tapes and everything is more online based and we're still trying to fight our corner. And as you said, Lawrence, it's definitely going to come back. I believe that. And I'm optimistic that we're going to fight to get
Getting in touch with the creative team of a show I did a couple of years ago and writing to everyone, and we're working on producing a new production of it. And I've never felt such gratitude kind of come back at me from sending out emails saying this, we're talking about the future and talking about actually creating work and doing something. The actual idea of talking about the future and being positive and that is so kind of essential, I think, for everyone at the moment to be able to think about the future. Yeah. And we've been working on a few ideas and just saying, listen, we cannot be pessimistic. We have to be optimistic and
that's
plan
right.
the future.
And that's what I've been advocating, actually. Sorry to cut you, but that's exactly what I'm excited when I hear you talk about optimism at this point, because we do need to have that. And we are creative people, so we can create. Nothing can stop us creating. You know, the government can do what the hell they like, but it's not going to stop us from creating.
No, exactly.
And once we are able to create, then we are able to create platforms for ourselves so that our art can be seen, heard, and experience
and I know you do. I mean, you're teaching and you're involved with the choir as well. That you
everything. I'm doing everything. I've just become an agent as well. Wow. Not so long ago. Yeah, I'm.
We'll talk. I could use some work.
Oh, come over. I'll sort you out. I'll look after you.
Yeah, actually, can you get us all tapes? Work for?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a self tape for every single person here. I'm pretty sure of it.
Thank
not
you.
Me, yeah, mate. Not me. No.
But that's been incredible, like Red Talent, working for them now as a creative consultant. Oh,
was that a plug? Did he get a plug in, Chris?
Did he? He got one. Of course he got one plug.
Listen, this is a musical theatre platform.
Do it.
Plugs galore. Plug,
listen, all of you, plug anything you can, because we've got 8 or 9 listeners now, so, you know.
Great, well, when I start. Yeah.
Thanks, thanks, Mom.
Well, Mrs. Stoddart.
Yeah. Thanks,
I love Mom. You, Mrs. Stoddart.
Yes.
I've been incredibly busy with the West End Gospel Choir, with Red Talent Management, with West End MT, which I'm a patron for, and just still trying to be an actor as well as all of that. So really, really busy, and I think that's kept me sane. I'm sure, like Ollie, your kids and, you know, your wife and painting your yard has kept you sane and it's kept you going. I think we all find things that keep us going, and every now and then I surprise myself by doing a home workout. Mash up the flooring, ruin the flooring because I'm an elephant at this point, but I'm still trying to do my thing because I think if the industry opens back up suddenly, I don't want to be the fat guy. I'm not being rude, I just don't want to be. And I can quite easily be living on Caribbean cuisine. You can quite easily become a fat guy very easily. Okay, so you got to keep yourself trim, look after yourself. I'm taking my vitamins and I'm doing my home workouts as much as I can.
Lovely, thank you, Nathaniel. That was really insightful.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Joel, you've been so patient listening to everyone. Thank you for that. Right, actually, Joel, man. Joel's just come back. Where have you been, man?
I mean, in fairness, that was like it was in Waitress. I used to sit in my dressing room for an hour, so it was kind of the same. Not waiting.
Well, I realised I saw you in Waitress, and I think I saw you in Falsettos as well. Yeah, but thank you for joining us today. So you've been in? Were you in the whole run of Waitress as well?
I think I was a bit of an afterthought, actually. Basically, I think they had someone planned to go in, and that something happened, and they were like, "Oh, this dude will do." So,
well, thank God we got you, babe. Because honestly,
this dude, you do yourself
light up the whole place. Seriously, what a blessing, what a gift to have in a cast. And I'm not just saying it because you're here, I'd say it behind your back too, so.
You've also said a lot of things behind my back now.
Well.
So, Joel, what were you doing before Waitress came along? We were talking about Tim doing his West End debut and...
Oh, well, I mean, like, let's be honest, Tim's like a younger, better version than me, so I've got to watch this one because he's going to be after the jobs, you know what I mean? I'm like, he's straight after. I'm like, oh, when I see him at an audition, I'm like, oh, God, here he goes, the young one. But, man, I must admit, I've seen the show. He's still got it, mate. Ollie and Tim and Juliet, they're both amazing, and I've known Nate for a long time, actually. But me and Ollie weirdly met in a bar in New York, and that was when I was kind of a little bit like you, Tim, sort of, oh my God,
a living legend,
Ollie Thompson from Wicked. Oh. I was like, oh my God, it's Ollie.
You weren't that shy though, because Joel approached me after hardly knowing me if I could get a poster signed. Yeah. By the cast of, to pick up a poster that was signed by Daniel Radcliffe on Broadway.
Yeah.
Succeed in Business. That
it was Sarah, me. Wasn't it? Sarah Gleeby.
Yeah. You were like, right, we're going to New York. Can you pick up this poster for me for my collection? I was like, okay.
It's so lovely. What was I doing before? Just working, like all of us, you know, trying to find the next gig, trying to find the next challenge, really. I think that's one thing that we all think as actors is we always want to be challenged, no matter what it is. And I see nothing but positivity now, because I mean, how much worse can it get? It can't. So as long as we are channeling the positive energy that everyone's doing online and whatever they're all doing, we're going to come back with a vengeance. Like there's no doubt about it. You know, these boys are killing it in Anne Juliet. They're amazing. So anyone that listens out there, go see them.
Yes.
It's been great. And doing Waitress was wonderful. Falsettos was brilliant, although I was called off a plane to do it. And I was like, that's a genuine story. I was actually on a plane when they called me and they said, Matt has left the show. Can you come in? So I was like, I'm actually on a plane. So let's see if I can get off it. And they cancelled the flight. It was Thomas Cook. So what can you do?
Wow.
So
you single-handedly brought Thomas Cook to the ground.
Well, I mean, yeah, they deserved it. So
dope is baby.
Yeah,
great.
That was crazy.
Thank you so much, everyone. That's really, really fantastic stuff. I can listen to you all natter about it all night, but we do have a quiz to do.
Game of Shows.
So that was Tim Mahendran, Ollie Thompsett, Joel Montague, and Nathaniel Morrison from two amazing shows, And Juliet and Waitress. As you said, Waitress is gone, done and dusted. Its closing night would have been, I think, in April, wouldn't it?
Meant to be running until July, I think. And then I think when it locked down, they obviously made the decision. But I thought it was sad about what Nathaniel was saying about, you know, he was on holiday, wasn't he? And
Game of shows.
One other little thing. I thought, you know, we do for five points. So here's one. I'm going to test you. Points.
Oh, God.
This person was born in 1987.
Okay.
For 4 points. This person moved to London in 2006 for 3 points. This person is Northern.
Buzz. Is it you, Chris Stoddart?
It is.
I was gonna say that when I thought, but 2006. I mean, like 1987. Yeah, 32. That sounds like you, but or 33 even. But moved in 2006. Yeah, that seems. Yeah, that's right.
That was me. That's when I went to Mountview. I mean, that wasn't even that funny. I thought it was really funny. So, episode 6, our final episode of series 1, and spoiler. We haven't done this in a few weeks, but I'm going to give a spoiler. Okay. So for our final episode of series 1, we can reveal that one team is going to be from Dear Evan Hansen.
Woo! That's very exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
I'm glad that we've pulled that off.
I think we can definitely confirm the show. And people TBC, but we've got some good people lined up, and then their opposing team. We've got a couple of different ideas. So hopefully in the next kind of couple of weeks, we'll have episode 6 ready to go. And then you'll have a whole back catalogue of series 1 to binge on for months to come.
Yeah, exactly. And to share with your friends and other musical theatre fans.
Yeah, everyone start tweeting Elaine Page on Sunday.
There's a few musical theatre fans out there who haven't found us yet. I'm just guessing.
I think there's loads of musical theatre fans out there.
Yeah, I'm gonna start sharing it with my musical theatre peeps in America because I haven't really kind of told them about it.
We're gonna go global.
We do have some listeners in the global.
We do
have some because I've been looking at the stats. They're all around the world, but share it, like it, comment on it, review it. What are the other things you can do?
Definitely subscribe.
Definitely subscribe.
As we always say, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, you find us on Spotify.
Our Instagram is at Game of Shows Quiz, and our Twitter is at @shows_quiz.
That's correct. We've covered all bases.
Thank you, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure working on episode 5 with you.
Yes.
And I look forward to episode 6.
See episode 6.
Game of Shows.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.